This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up later in the hour, Brian Mitchell will join us from Philadelphia. Of course, the former Washington legend and also the former Eagle will join us. Second all-time in NFL or in the NFL's history in all-purpose yardage. And now he hosts the show with J.P. Finley. It's what a great career gets you. You get to work with JP. So we'll talk to B. Mitch coming up at 5:30 about this showdown. Chris Russell live from Philly at 6:30. But right now, it is time for Not My Beat.
His top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Logan Paulson is in Philly as well, but before he left, we recorded our preview for Take Command, which we share some of with you right now. The Philly offense is incredibly potent, so how can the Commanders' defense stop it? We gave it our best shot in Take Command. Take Command preview time. That's Logan Paulson. I am Craig Hoffman, and we are previewing Joe Witt Jr.'s crew against perhaps the most talented offense in football. The Philadelphia Eagles come in having won every single game since their week five bye. They are rolling offensively. Of course, the Cowboys gave them some help. They just absolutely dump trucked them. Cooper Rush couldn't hold on to the football the whole deal the other night, but they still put up 34 points, and that's kind of who they've been since that week five bye, Logan. I'd ask you where to start with this team, but I know the answer. The talent is just overwhelming. Yeah. But what strikes you about that talent, how they deploy it, and just the special things about it?
Well, it's the talent across the board. It's the defensive talent. It's the offensive talent. I know we're talking about the offense right now, but A.J. Brown is a special football player, you know, and Devontae Smith is a special football player. Like, those guys are dynamic, and then you add Saquon to that, and it's like, gosh, like, kind of pick your poison. And, you know, Jalen Hurts.
Well, at least there's no way there's enough money left for the offensive line. Oh, wait.
That's exactly right. They're – for my money, like, when they're healthy, and they've been a little bit nicked up at points in the season, they're maybe the best group in football, probably the best group in football. I think Baltimore or Detroit has something to say about it, but it's close. I mean, when you look at it, it's, is Jordan Mailata playing this week?
So Jordan Mailata's practice window has been open, and he was a full participant in Tuesday's practice. So I would say that probably means he's playing.
Yeah, so here, you know, top five tackle, right? Then you go Landon Dickerson. He's probably a top 10 guard. You go to Cam Jurgens. He's a young center replacing a Hall of Fame player. He's playing well, but not at the same level that Kelsey was playing. Mekhi Becton, if you guys remember him from the Jets.
Yeah.
He's playing
failed
guard.
Tackle, good right
he's,
guard.
He's playing guard and looks like an absolute savage out there. And then obviously Lane Johnson, top probably three tackle in football. So,
by the way, playing some of his best ball in years. Lane Johnson this year has his lowest pressure rate allowed since 2018.
Yeah, and so it's really interesting watching that group, because it's like they have the they are really, really good, but they also have one of the higher pressure rates in the NFL. And you're like, what is going on? So you go by, watch the pressure reel. Basically, Jalen Hurts just holds the ball forever. You know what I mean? He just holds the ball for a long time. He's looking down the field, and it works because they're really good in pass pro. They let him kind of do what he's got to do. He can scramble when he needs to. I will say Moore's offense, I've always been a little bit like up and down on it, because it is a little bit like, isolation basketball. Let's find our best matchup pre-snap. You know, so we'll go 3-by-1. Oh, AJ Brown's by himself. Let's run a hitch and let's rip it out there, right? And I think some of the stuff that they did in the run game when Kelsey was there, you know, kind of pulling the center and manning up with the guards is gone now. And that's never really been a huge feature of Moore's offense. And I think it's really limited the effectiveness of their gun runs, of their kind of sub runs when there's a tight end on the field and there's three wide receivers. Like, they used to be so devastating in those situations. And I just kept visualizing Saquon Barkley in those situations just, you know, running buckshot because they were able to create so much space with how big their offensive line was and how good they were in one-on-one situations. That's really not who they've been over the course of the season, which is good because their rushing efficiency is way down. I think it's like 3.4 yards a carry total, you know, and I think that's including sacks and stuff like that. But they're not quite what they were over the last couple of years, which is just hyper-efficient, huge running lanes, leading the NFL in yards per contact, yards before contact. That's really not what they've been. And again, Saquon's done a great job. He's done a great job with checkdowns. He's done a great job finding explosive plays. Like, if you watch the Giants game, there's like a bunch of kind of muddy looks, you know what I mean? Kind of muddy, kind of where's the run? And then he busts out for 50 yards. So even though it's not been the most efficient, he's still one of the most explosive players in football. And then you couple that with the receivers and it's like, what are you going to do? So if I'm Joe Wood Jr., I think the thing that I key in on is I basically say, like, they're not hyper, if they're good at running the football, they're not great at running the football. I think they lead the NFL, Craig, in carries, right? Is that a correct statistic?
I think the Steelers had them, but it might be them. I'll double check.
Yeah, it's close. Whatever it is, it's 1A, 1B, and the quarterback runs the ball. So they get a lot of touches on the ball. So they're going to run the football. And to me, like, I want Jalen Hurts with the football in his hands because they have 10 turnovers this season. He's got like 9 of them. He throws picks. He's not been great with the football in terms of taking care of it. When he's running around, he's got a couple fumbles. And again, like, that, this is the thing that's tough, is you want him holding the football, but they do such a good job on the offensive line of making it so that he doesn't have to play outside of his normal rhythm, which is a little bit slow, a little bit deliberate, that he can find these guys that get open late down the field. So even though that's what you want, it's very, very scary because they're so devastating in terms of explosive playmakers on the perimeter. Like, so devastating. Like, watching AJ Brown versus Green Bay week 1, I was like, how do you cover this guy? Like, that's how it felt. Like, he's like, he's top 5 player at the position probably, right? And it just, he's big, he's fast, he's explosive, he's strong. And you're just like, I don't feel good about anybody in the league really matching up with him, but the Commanders are going to have a tough time with that matchup specifically.
Yeah, and it does not look like, it doesn't look encouraging, I'll say, for Marshawn Lattimore to play at this point. Didn't practice again on Tuesday. He's someone that is big, strong, physical, and fast, and is about as good as anybody in the league for that, but they're probably not going to have him. They do, by the way, lead the NFL in rushing attempts, which is crazy because they played one less game than Baltimore and Washington, who were 2nd and 3rd. So they are 324 in 9 games. The Ravens are 319 in 10 games. So, yeah, they run the mess out of the football. It's also crazy. I thought Pittsburgh was. Pittsburgh, I think, was the most after last week. And then they rushed the ball 43 times or somehow 4th. I don't know. Me and math, bad. Eagles in football, good. It's – I don't know what you do if you're Joe with this because it is – something where I almost wonder if you not punt on your pass rush, obviously. And look, Dan and Joe have been playing the Eagles offensive line for years. They've been playing Jalen for years. Like, they've been in the division. They know what to do here. They have specific insight in the building. Brian Johnson was there in Philly. And while they're running very different stuff, like, they obviously know the way Jalen thinks a little bit. If Brian Johnson is sharing that, and presumably he is. And so there's a lot of, you know, kind of what ifs, but it's almost like you got no one to man up. The pressure is going to be hard to get home anyway. Do you just blanket it with as many bodies as you can and make Jalen try to read zone coverage? Or do you just say, hey, like, no, we're an aggressive team that's going to try to get pressure, and let's see if we can poke some holes in that line? Because while it has happened without Jordan Mailata on the field, there are some teams that have gotten pretty good pressure on Hurts this season.
Because he holds the mess out of the ball. Yeah.
He has the longest time to throw in the league. Yeah, I actually looked that up while you were talking. He's at 3.11 seconds per attempt.
Which is an insane number. 3.1, you said?
3.11.
A high number is like 2.7. A good number is like 2.3. And I know we're talking tenths of seconds here or hundredths of seconds, but like.
But look how often sacks, like, look how often quarterbacks get hit right after they throw. Yeah. Imagine if that extra 0.6 seconds, like, that's the difference in getting that throw off and getting obliterated as you're throwing the ball popping straight up in the air or just having to eat it for a sack.
Yeah, like the O-line, it's just a testament to how well that group, how good that group is, how well they're playing. Because he's not really like, he's a good player. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing on Jalen here, but like he really leverages them a lot. And it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, like in the way you think it would in terms of sacks and hits and hurries. Like, obviously I just said that they're number one in terms of pressures, but he doesn't get hit a lot. You know, he doesn't take a lot of sacks. And it's because that group is just in there. It's funny, when you were talking, I was thinking like, obviously, they run the ball a ton, but I think this is a game where you just say, hey, man, we're going to play like some version of two, some version of quarters. We're going to stay back. We're going to make sure our corners have help. And just basically like, Jalen, you will turn the ball over at some point in this drive, whether it's an interception or a fumble. And when you will go back and watch his interception reels, I think he's got 10 interceptions this year, or 10, five interceptions. Sorry, I was thinking 10 total turnovers. Five interceptions, four of them come in the red zone, like low red, bad picks. So like, just kind of bleed it out, let them get their first downs. It's not a super efficient offense. Like when you watch, you know, Baltimore or Cincinnati or Detroit, it's like where they're like a well-oiled machine. It feels a little labored. It feels a little bit like, oh, we're kind of teetering. We're being carried a lot by our talent. And so what I would say is like, let them do that. Let them kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. He'll miss a throw. They'll miss a blitz pickup. They'll miss an assignment in the run game. They'll get to second and 10 and then just kind of wait it out. And I think that's because of how good they are on the perimeter. Like, that's kind of what you have to do. And then what you're hoping is that Saquon doesn't really get out. He'll get a couple yards here and there, you know, 5 yard run, 10 yard run, 15 yard run. But as long as you can stuff him, like you've always talked about creating that stuff percentage, I think you just say, hey man, go on a 12 play drive and see if you can do it. And that's kind of how I would approach it.
I think that's how I would approach it too. That involves a level of patience that this defense has definitely shown at times this year. But also, you know, last week, that's kind of what we were talking about at the end of the game. Like, hey, it's 3rd and 9. Like, let's heat up Russ and see if we can force something crazy. And Russ does something crazy. The problem is it's crazy good. And he dots, you know, Mike Williams in the end zone, and that's your ball game, or more or less your ball game. So I'm curious to see if they can stay patient with that strategy. I'm curious to see then what that means for the run defense, because obviously Saquon is a guy that if he gets an ounce of space, he can take it to the house. And he has 3 of the 8, I think, most explosive plays, like top ball carrier speeds, which means he's able to actually get out in the open field and open up. And man, him in space, there is a play. I actually put this on Twitter because I was laughing so hard at it, which is easy for me to laugh. I feel sorry to Marshawn Overshone and the other Cowboys linebacker whose name I'm forgetting, number 50. There's a play last week where Jalen swings it to Saquon in space. It's down in the red zone.
Yeah.
And I remember against, I think it was the Minnesota run when Robert made the two dudes just...
Yeah.
And Mike Vick. No, it was Mike Vick versus Minnesota way back in the day.
Okay.
Where Vick splits him on an overtime run. Like, famous highlight, and two Vikings players just into each other. And Saquon does that, where he just splits two Cowboys, and Marshawn Overshone dives face first into his teammate's chest plate. And it's Keystone Cops. You could put the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme to it, the whole deal. And so Saquon in space is so, so lethal. And so you have to be on, like, we saw the play with Jaylen Warren last week. Like, you can't do that to Saquon. You can't lose him on a check down because he'll go pick up 50 yards. And I think this defense's ability to fly to the ball, rally, and tackle becomes really important. They've been really good at it. It's just harder against these dudes because these dudes, whether it's Devontae, he's slippery. AJ's powerful. Saquon's slippery and powerful. Jalen's hard to bring down. He's got a bunch of explosive runs this year. Like the rally tackle, like once you get past the schematics of how you approach it and your aggressiveness style, there's just the fundamentals of blocking or, you know, block shedding and tackling, especially on a short week where you're beat up a little bit, that are going to probably be the biggest determinants in this game beyond any schematic decision.
Yeah, I mean, they, like you said, they got dudes, and their offense is really like, when the dudes are good, like, the offense is good. And I think that's what you're contending with. So ultimately, like, that idea that you kind of just say, hey, we're going to play coverage, we're going to rally and tackle. It's not going to feel good all the time. It's not going to look good all the time, but we are just going to kind of keep in the fight. Because when you watch, like, the explosive play reel, like, they're explosive, they get down the field, and it's not like anything, oh, like, look at this design and look at how they manipulated the coverages and stretched this window. It's like, AJ, go in on a vertical. Just like, we're just going to call it, and you're just going to run it. Like, they, and it's tough. It's just tough to deal with. So I think that's, again, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty, but, like, If they can just manage and not give up an explosive and force Jalen to kind of work the length of the field, I think they're going to be all right. Because again, he does turn the football over, he does hold the ball for a long time, and I think that's the best shot. And so as long as the offense, which we'll talk about here in a minute, can kind of keep pace and kind of keep pace with what Philly's going to do. Because again, they go through, I mean, I don't know how much you watch, Craig, because you know you watch a lot, but they go through spats where they don't do anything offensively. They just kind of are, oh, here's a three and out, here's a incomplete pass, and then here's the interception. And you're like, what's going on? Like, you guys are too good to be doing this. And then it's like, oh yeah, we're really good. And they figure it out and they go. In that doldrum that they go through offensively, if you can maximize that with your offense, you put them in a bad spot where Jalen Hurts has to win the game for him, has to throw the football a ton, which obviously they don't want to do because their rushing totals are so high. Their rushing attempt totals are so high.
Yeah, no, the game flow, you know, again, we always seem to talk about it, but like, that is definitely big. And it's funny because the way that, you know, especially this week that I watched, where it was very, very segmented on a short week, like the third down rule becomes real funny because you got the graphic of like score, to, you know, quarter time, whatever. And there are some stretches where you're watching it where you're like, third down, they don't get it, come back. It's like 5 minutes later, same thing, same thing, same thing. Yeah. And then there's other weeks where like third down, say it happened in the middle of the first quarter, they don't hit a third down again until the end of the second and they've scored 21 points in between. Yeah. They just like don't even get to third down. Yeah. Because they're just so nasty and they pick up these huge chunks and, you know, Saquon's ripping off 8 yards a carry. Like it's really wild to watch sometimes how streaky their offense is. And
that's
obviously
a good word,
coming
streaky.
Yeah, they're coming off a heater. And so if they can continue, that's problematic. if you can shut them down and they can get in a rut and, you know, AJ Brown is yelling at Jalen on the sideline and Sirianni's red faced and everyone's mad at each other, then like, sweet. Good job. I definitely think it's going to be interesting. The not giving up explosives in the run game to me is the number one thing. Just because like that's where they want to live, right? They want to run the football a ton. And if they can generate the big ones, and that's less times that Jalen's going to put it up. And I understand that the big explosives are a huge problem potentially in the passing game because of how skilled the receivers are vertically. And I'm not saying that I would necessarily like put a bunch of guys in the box and whatever and leave my corners one-on-one. But my point of emphasis, I think, this week is, hey, be like, no, just be you in terms of who we've been all year. Be violent and physical at the point of attack. Like, hit hard, wrap up, finish plays. And if you do that, you'll be okay. If you're lunging at Saquon's ankles, like, you're going to be the guy on the ground in the background of the highlight reel. Don't be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, the down to down for him too, the down to down efficiency, not great, not great. But he does, like, you watch through and you're like, man, that is a explosive run. That's a game changing run. Like, there's been a couple times this year where he's saved them. The passing game has been so off and they can't get anything going. All of a sudden it's like, here's Saquon on a bubble. Here's Saquon on a rail. Here's Saquon on a little handoff to the outside. And he breaks for 50. And all of a sudden the offense is out of the doldrum and into the thing. And I think that's the thing, maybe. And again, we're kind of saying this in a bunch of different ways, saying the same thing in a bunch of different ways. They have a lot of people that can do that for you. Right. So
right.
We're in doldrum.
Yeah. Just real quick, like the man coverage matchups, if you think about it, if they do go man, like, I guess you put Luvu and say, hey, can you run with Saquon? And like Percy Butler and Jeremy Chanter on Dallas Goedert. And then you got Juice on one of these receivers and Sane Russell on another. Like, none of the matchups are particularly good in Washington's favor, which is probably why I just avoid playing man as much as I can in the first place.
And so to me, this feels like what they did against Cincinnati. It feels like it's going to feel exactly like that. Split safety, light box. They can run the ball as much as they want, basically. And we're going to just die a slow death, and hopefully our offense can keep pace. And I think, again, the other thing is, like, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati offense, just by comparison, was, like, is incredibly efficient on a down-and-out basis. Like, you watch them, and you're like, Joe Burrow is a surgeon. The thing about Jalen is he does, like, you get in these modes where it's like, hey, here's, like, there was a, against the Giants, for example, their second drive, there's a dude, it's Jahan Dotson, wide open in the middle of the field. He just bypasses it and checks the ball down. Like, that's kind of, and you're just like, if he hits that, that's a first down, they say on schedule. Like, Joe Burrow never misses that, right? That's what, I mean, he misses it occasionally, but he's hitting that 9 out of 10 times. And right. So there is that element to this game, whereas if you get ahead on first and second down and Jalen's got to do some stuff, if it's not outside the numbers, it's not vertical, it's not a comeback, you can win third downs. And that, I think that's one of the things why it's so streaky, is we talked last week about, you know, pick-ins and 50-50 balls. Like, a big point of the big portion of their offense is straight 50-50 opportunities down the field, outside the numbers, lower percentage throws. And so when you're not hitting them, obviously your offense looks like not good. But when you hit them, it's like explosive play, explosive play, explosive play. So that's the thing you got to negotiate here, is can you limit the explosive, can you limit the first and second down run rushing efficiency for them? Because on third down, they become inefficient,
really.
Maybe? Yeah, like inconsistent, maybe is what I'm looking for there. And I think that's ultimately what you're at. It's like, but again, I don't want to be in an 8-man box ever versus this team. I don't want that ever. So how do I stop the run with 6 and 7 guys? So, like, is there line stunts? Are we bringing run pressures? Are we maybe changing the front structure? Like, what is that answer? Because that's going to be really compelling, because we can't just line up in a 4-down front. Because, like we said, their O-line is a bunch of monsters, like, quite literally monstrous human beings that can move you off the spot. So, like, when I think about Mekhi Becton on, you know, Johnny Newton, doesn't get me super fired up, because he's giving up about 70 or 80 pounds to that man. You know what I mean? And that's across the board. They're big, physical, nasty, technically sound guys that can move you off the spot.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting. It's a challenge. No one's really solved it in 5 weeks since the bye, where they've changed a couple of things. They're running out from under center more. You know, they've been super, or way more efficient with a lot of this stuff. But they are on, you know, in the same way that Pittsburgh is like, hey, it's third and long, we're just going to chuck it deep. Like, if you can get them in third and longs, then cover that stuff up, you can be okay. But if they get in third and short, they will run anything. That's the last thing I think I'll just add real quick from what I looked at and watching the third downs this morning, is like, if they're in third and five or less, their entire playbook is open, and that is terrifying. They will run the ball in third and five, both quarterback and running back. They will throw slants. They will throw go balls. They will throw everything. So that is a really dangerous spot, those third and short. So can you be really good on first and second down, keep them in third and long, and then please just put a safety over the top of A.J. Brown. If not A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, please do not leave those guys one-on-one, because Jalen just wants to throw that sucker up there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is they still do the tush push. Sirianni is still hyper-aggressive on fourth down. So in terms of getting off the field defensively, like, it's a little bit of a slog, you know? It's a little bit of a slog. So very interesting matchup. I think ultimately we settle on, we'd like to see them probably play coverage as opposed to, you know, get up there and mix it up in the run game. But we'll see, because, you know, in Joe Witt Jr., I trust. I think he's done a great job with this defense. I think they got better each and every week. This is a very unique matchup. But I think he'll come up with a good solution, obviously.
If you want more from Take Command before kickoff tonight, I highly recommend listening right at 7 o'clock, because that's when this show is over. If you want great content here on the Team 980 tonight, talking Terps with Coach Locks is tonight. So you got some college football before the NFL, if you'd like, as well tonight. And then, of course, Take Command is available on demand anytime, anywhere. Logan and I will do our instant reaction show, not after the game tonight. We're going to do it tomorrow morning, so not quite so instant. A sleep on it reaction show tomorrow morning. We might even go live sometime in the 8 a.m. hour on YouTube at the Team 980 if you want to check us out. If not, it will be posted to the Team 980 on demand style right after, and of course in the Take Command podcast feed. When we get back live to Philly, we go, Anthony? We all confirmed?
Yeah, I'm waiting on B to hit me back right now.
Well, I don't want to say that Brian Mitchell is next if Mitchell's not going to be next.
Yeah, up in the air then.
Okay. Well, we'll either talk to Brian Mitchell or we will continue to chew on the conundrum that Logan and I were just talking about, which is, do you play it super safe or do you go with the Marcus, the caller from the first hour theory of if you die, just die quickly? We'll talk about it next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And joining us now from South Philly, ahead of Commanders and Eagles tonight, there is perhaps no one more appropriate to talk to ahead of a Commanders and Eagles game than Brian Mitchell. B. Mitch, what's going on, man?
What up, Craig? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this game tonight. Paint the picture for us up there. I'm sure it's always fun for you to go back to Philly after you spent so many great years there, after you obviously spent so many great years in Washington. But for these night games in Philly, that stadium's just a little bit different. Are you starting to feel that energy already, or is it still just a little bit too far before kickoff?
Oh, no. That energy started early today. Actually, it started last night as I went around places and, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, we know you're here to cheer for the Commanders, but, you know, we love you here, too. So, but it's a lot of fun. The fans are already out there. They've been tailgating all damn day. You know, our lots normally open about 3 or 4 hours before the game. Their lots open at 1:30 today. So, there'll be a lot of lively people out there tonight. I guarantee you that.
That is hilarious, actually, is what it is. It's also fully expected for Philly. On the Washington side of it, of course, and Brian, as you know, hosted B. Mitch and Finley 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. over on 106.7 The Fan. So for you looking at this on the Washington side of it, Brian, how do you think that this short turnaround affects them, specifically after that Steelers game? Not so much of like the short turnaround, because Philly's got to do that too. They even play the afternoon on Sunday. But kind of the way that they lost that game, the missed opportunities to get to come out and play a couple of days later, how do you think that plays into the game tonight, if at all?
It helps them out, because you know one thing about players, they don't want to sit out there and practice all day and worry about things. They want to get right back on the horse, and this is a quick opportunity for them to get back only 4 days after that game. But they also understand the things that they have to correct. Most of the things that happened in that game were mental. You know, you when you're dropping balls, that's mental. You know, you get a turnover two times in the second half, you don't get any points out of it, so these are mental. So they had a good mental week. But, you know, once the game starts, people say, oh, they sore, it is. When that football game starts, those guys start moving around, they forget about any soreness. They care about the people right there in front of them at the moment. But the mental things have to be corrected, and to get right back out there is the best thing for any football player.
Jaden Daniels, as a runner, has not been as effective in recent weeks. Teams have seemed to be able to take that away. And to an extent, Dan Quinn admitted this week, like, they've taken some of that off of his plate because they don't want to get him hit on that rib injury. It also sounds like, though, that leash is expiring, if you will. Do you think that is an important thing for them to get going tonight? And how do you feel about that part of Jaden's game against this Eagles defense?
Well, I think part of that game goes away when you don't have Brian Robinson on the field. You know, they can focus on him a little bit more instead of having to worry about Brian and also worry about him. In this game tonight, Brian Robinson will be playing. So I think Jaden will be able to do the things he was doing before. But also, I think they want to be cautious because of the rib injury and things like that. But Brian Robinson being on the field, I think, changes all of those things. You know, when you see Patrick Queen sitting there waiting for him all day, that's because Patrick Queen didn't have to worry about 6'2", 6'3", 230 pounds running in his chest. Tonight, they won't have that luxury to just sit back and wait on him. They got to worry about B-Rob also.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, too, because it was pretty clear that Pittsburgh was not, like, on zone read, they wanted the handoff. I don't know how much you want the handoff, especially if you're going to be short-staffed on the front side of a run when Brian Robinson is out there. How do you feel about the Terry McLaurin matchup tonight? He's going to be on Kenyon Mitchell. They've played a lot more press man in this five-game winning streak as Philadelphia. Terry's maybe the best receiver in the league against press man. How do you feel about, again, like, the matchup itself and the importance of that matchup?
Well, I feel very confident in Terry, man. Terry's going to beat most people. But the thing about it, as I said today, I was asking people, was Quinyon Mitchell talking? Because when people talk to Terry, he embarrasses them. Quinyon hadn't said anything yet. He said he likes to talk on the field. Well, if you start talking on the field to Terry McLaurin, you can look for a big day. The thing about Terry, he has big games against the Eagles. They were just his first game in the league, you know? So I'm expecting him to be good, and now he's more of a veteran player. Yeah, Quinyon can play, you know, and he has a great last name. But he can play. But I think the ultimate thing, Terry is an experienced player, and he's going to be able to take advantage of a younger guy.
Brian Mitchell with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, B. Mitch and Finley will have full reaction to this game tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 106.7 The Fan, which you can also listen to on the free Odyssey app. Brian, the biggest concern for me is the other side of the ball. This offense for Philadelphia has just an insane amount of talent. And we had a caller earlier that I thought put up an interesting theory, because I think Logan and I were kind of sitting in the play coverage, make them beat you, you know, limit your aggressiveness, really pick your spots. And the caller was basically like, I would just, if I'm going to die, I'd rather die quickly. Like, I don't want to have them just sustain long drives. Where is your, if you're Joe Witt Jr., where is your aggressiveness dial tonight?
Well, I think what you have to do is understand that Jalen Hurts has not been very, very careful with the football. And I feel that if you put pressure on him and make him have to throw balls, that'll help you out more. I think if Saquon has a big night and he's running the ball effectively, now they keep the ball all day, they put the pressure on our offense, and you strain a defense. So tonight, you got to take your chances with him, because I think if you are going to have to choose your own poison, I don't want it to be Saquon. I'd rather have Jalen try to go out and beat me. And you're going to have to find ways to throw those different coverages at A.J. Brown. Don't allow him to just have one-on-one like they did last year with Forbes. You got to make sure he don't know what's coming at him. Throw him some zones at him sometimes. Have a guy over the top. Make him have to think when he's out there instead of just running free as he did down the field last year.
Is there any other part of this game, specifically a matchup, you know, kind of the mentality of each of these teams, anything in particular to you that we haven't talked about that you think is really important that's kind of top of mind for you as we approach kickoff tonight?
Well, top of mind for me is special teams, to be honest with you. Last week,
you, Brian, whoa, hold on. You, special teams? No, come on now.
Think about it, Craig. Last week, you had two muffs. You lost one. You have to be sure with the football. Okay, and I think if we can try to find a way to do something to them and get an advantage, it'll help us out. So, Cyber's not playing tonight, okay? We have Gonzo in there. So, we need him to continue as he was last week. Be consistent with the ball. You know, knock things through the uprights when you have to. But the ultimate thing is you cannot have those turnovers, especially when you're dealing with, when you're backed up like that. You know, you give the ball to somebody on a 10, that's 7 points, more than likely. So, you have to be protected of the ball. You know, I know they worked on OZ all week, and I hope they stuck with him. So I hope he comes out there this week and be a lot better with it, because last week, that was tough.
Yeah, that was not good. It's pretty easy for anybody to evaluate him last week. Like two muff punts, you lose one of them. Okay, I thought it was interesting that Dan was like, "Well, you have to look at the whole body of work," because in my mind, I don't know that he's had some spectacular year as a punt returner. Brian, what have you made of Olamide Zaccheaus as a punt returner in 2024?
Well, I think he's just been like he was. Sometimes you get guys where they're unsure of the catch on the punt, and then I think also what I've seen with him, he kind of gets his feet slack. And the thing about punts now, and a lot of leagues, a lot of players are going through these left-footed punters, a different spin on the ball. That ball's coming down. It gets from 5 to 6 yards to you. It can still move. And a lot of guys have to reach outside their body, or they try to catch it too high. If that ball hits you in those shoulder pads, it's going to bounce off of you. So you need to be able to move back and slide yourself around to make sure that you feel it in the right spot. That little bread basket right below the chest and right above the waist. That's where you try to catch most of the punts.
Hopefully, you know, if he's got any last-minute questions, he'll find you. But this guy's been doing it a long time. Going to be a huge, huge part of the game tonight for sure. Brian will be on the Commanders pregame coverage on all of their YouTube channels and all that kind of good stuff. And then again tomorrow with JP, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 106.7 The Fan. B-Mitch, always a pleasure. Enjoy the game tonight, man, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, brother. Take care, man.
That's Brian Mitchell with us here on the Hoffman Show live from Philadelphia. When we get back here on the Team 980, what would a win mean tonight for Washington? What would a loss mean tonight for Washington? Then our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are going to talk to Chris Russell coming up in about 45 minutes. Anthony, anybody else that we're waiting to hear from right now on the guest front?
No. I mean, only people we're waiting to hear from, Commanders PR and Steelers PR. I mean, Eagles PR.
With the injury report.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which comes 90 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah,
so about an hour from right now.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the question I have right now for you, Anthony, slash one for me to answer myself. If the Commanders win, then blank. If you are the Commanders and you lose, then blank. And it's really not even if you are the Commanders. If the Commanders win, blank, fill in the blank. If the Commanders lose, fill in the blank. Which one do you want to fill in first?
I would like to fill in if the Commanders lose first.
Be my guest.
I think if the Commanders lose, I think questions about Cliff Kingsbury may arise.
Ooh, I see. I think where you're going with this.
Keep going. I'm just saying, again, we saw Cliff in Arizona. We saw the hot starts that they used to get out to, 7-1, 6-0, things of that nature. And I'm going to say the offense the last couple of weeks hasn't looked as pristine as it did to start the season. And I'm not sure if teams have caught on to, you know, what Cliff was accustomed to doing early in the season and if the offense isn't clicking. Because I think after the first 4 weeks, everybody was saying, all right, the offense is going to win this game. As long as we got Jaden Daniels, that's what John Allen said. As long as you got Jaden Daniels, you have a chance. But Jaden Daniels hasn't been able to, you know, utilize his legs. He hasn't had, I guess he's missed on a couple of throws, but the offense still hasn't looked the part that it did early in the season. So I think if we lose, questions about the offense may arise.
That is a really interesting and, I think, worthy discussion point as a hypothetical. Because the Commanders, look, their scoring has not exactly tailed off outside of the Chicago game, right? They scored 27 against Pittsburgh.
Yep.
They scored 27 against the Giants and took a knee at the one-yard line at the end, so they could have easily gotten 30. They scored 18 against Chicago, and they scored 40 in the game he got hurt in against Carolina. So they haven't exactly really slowed the scoring trend unless you say, well, hey, they scored 38, 42, 34, and then since then they've only scored 40 once. Oh, boo-hoo. They've only scored 30 once. But again, we have the caveat of the Giants game where they took a knee at the end when they were on the one-yard line and could have just as easily gotten across the 30 threshold. I do think that there is some like, the reason I think that is interesting, despite those numbers not really changing that much, is I think there is some truth to your larger point. I think that there are some things the Commanders did earlier in the year that teams have latched onto. For instance, Logan talked about this one on Take Command because I asked him about it and he was just like, yep, nope, this could be a theory. The Commanders love to call screens on the fringe of the red zone. So they get in that high red, like 20, between the 20 and the 40, right? Just get in the strike zone, if you will. They love a screen there. And they probably even love a screen on like second and whatever, more specifically. I'd have to go back and look at the down distances. But teams that employ the types of like advanced scouting and whatever, like that's part of the things that they take notes on. And when they present you know, certain situational football stuff in the team meetings. Like, they've had their defensive quality control coach go and chart every single situation and screen and this. And it's like, they like to run screens in XYZ. And second and long, they love to blah, blah, blah. I just haven't done that amount of detail because my full-time job isn't to pour through every single snap of the Commanders at all times and then present it in a defensive meeting. But definitely that high red area is an area where teams are on the cliff. So what's the solution? He can call screens in other areas of the field and he can stop calling them there. Just for now, mix it up. Or can you even do some kind of fake screen and leak someone upfield? Or, you know, they've tried some other stuff where they try to, like, you know, fake one way, fake this way, come back the other way type of deal. I actually kind of wonder. I think the screen that Jaden got sacked on last week was just got blown up.
Yeah,
but there's also a chance that was a quarterback draw where they tried to screen both sides and basically get everyone to run out of the way and then let Jaden run up the middle. And it just got sniffed out. So, like, there are definitely aspects that Cliff is, you know, they're onto him. But Cliff has said, and Dan has said, like, hey, if you think you've seen our whole playbook, like, you don't know what's coming. So they seem to have some stuff in the bag. The question is, in game, in the heat of battle, can they pull out the different stuff at the right spot? I also do think that this defense is somewhat called, or this offense, like, is the floor is really high, I guess is how I would say, because Jaden is just super accurate. The scrambling, assuming that gets back. All of that stuff just puts a floor underneath you where you can still, oh my God, they're on to us. We only scored 25 a game instead of 35.
Yeah.
25 a game still puts you as a top 10 offense in the NFL.
No questions.
But I do think that if they want to be the best version of themselves and if they want the defense, who actually is playing down in, down out far better than they were earlier in the season, mm-hmm. to be at their absolute best, they need that support from the offense. And so I think that's a really, really interesting and good point. One that if they lose, hopefully we don't have to do this, but we should come back to tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should be blown out of proportion. I think the offense is doing, you know, putting up enough numbers. But at the same, to like your point, we're leaning primarily on the offense to carry us through these games. I'm not saying we can ignore what the defense is doing, but our main focus has been the offense all season long.
No doubt about it. If the Commanders win, then what? What's the short version of this? Then we get to our pick six at six.
If the Commanders win, everybody in the NFC in the NFC needs to be on notice. We lost to the Steelers coming off a bye week by 1 point without our lead horse in Brian Robinson.
And a starting tackle and a half.
Yeah, exactly. And then we went out here and beat the Eagles, who have been playing as good as any team the last 5 weeks, offensively and defensively. So I think that would deserve some recognition from everybody around the league, putting everybody on notice. We can compete. We can beat good teams. And that Bengals team we beat early in the season is also a good team. So stop trying to discredit us.
So is the freaking Cardinals. They haven't beat anybody, Craig. Except for the Bengals that are really good offensively and better than the record down in, down out, et cetera, and might wind up making the playoffs. And the Cardinals are 6-4 and leading their division, and Washington destroyed them. Also, Carolina's got 3 wins all of a sudden. So take that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What up?
Yeah.
We're beating with Marcus Mariota 40-7. I'm kidding on Carolina part. All right. When we get back, this is a Friday tradition for us going into Sunday games, but here on a Thursday, going into a Thursday game, we're going to pick the 6 players that we think are most important in this matchup. We call it our pick 6 at 6. And it's next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 on a Burgundy and Gold game day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.